Welcome to the Darien Cast. This will be episode 4, week, what is this, week 112 or something?
Something close to that, yeah.
Yeah, we're reliable, as always. I'm Darien. That guy over there in the suit without the gold chains is Steven.
Hey.
And basically, we've been playing a lot of Smash Brothers lately, so we're probably going to ramble about that. We're probably going to talk about Mario a bit.
Yeah,
should be good.
So.
Should be good. So you want to start it off? I know you just...
Yeah, I think we need to start with some old business, which is, I think last time we were talking about the best games of 07, and I had yet... I was like kind of saying I think Mass Effect might have been the best game, but looks like I need to take that back. Maybe Mario Galaxy is not just the best game of last year, but of the last several years.
Yeah,
if it continues to be as good as it has been so far.
I pretty much agree. It does basically continue to be that good. It has its down points, obviously, but it's pretty excellent the whole way through.
Yeah, I'm about, I don't know, I think halfway, but probably not quite that far.
How many stars do you have?
30-some.
So on a star basis, you're about a quarter of the way through.
Oh, wow, okay, so...
Yeah, it does have the traditional Mario game number of stars in it, so...
Nice. That's still a lot to do. That's cool. I mean, it's just constantly throwing interesting new mechanics at you, and you know my favorite thing about it, though? I love that the levels are so short.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You can sit through and play through a level in 10 or 15 minutes, and it's just nice, instead of this giant, massive commitment of time every time you pick up the game.
And you don't spend any time playing Mario Galaxy just running around in a circle trying to figure out what you're supposed to be doing in the level. It's always very obvious what your goal in the level is. It shows you when you enter the level, you're supposed to do this, like that, and it derives its challenge from the actual mechanics of the game and not from confusing you with how to get
right.
Where you're going.
I think your comment to me was you were happy that it wasn't a goddamn scavenger hunt for once. And
I believe that was what I said.
I agree, because... It pretty much turned me off of... Well, you know what it is? It's like the first... It feels like really and truly the first pure 3D platformer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it feels like a platformer, but it's still 3D and uses the 3D to great effect.
Back in Super Mario Sunshine on the GameCube, it had these underground levels where you'd enter them and you'd lose the crazy squirt gun. And then you just had this level that was just set in weird space with weird backgrounds. And it was just a whole bunch of moving, sliding blocks. And you just jumped through this little course to the end. And those levels always pissed me off because they were such a tease. I'm like, this is what I want the whole game to be. But
right.
I get one of these per world, and then I'm back out trying to gather 100 coins in the amusement park. And I'm just like, this is not what I paid the admission for here.
Right, you want to run around and jump on things.
Exactly.
And, yeah, I think we were talking earlier, there's a crazy space cake level.
I love the space cake.
It's just, you're on a cake. I don't know how to describe it. You're on a cake in space, and there's all these moving platforms and really precise jumps and running around narrow ledges. And, ooh, it's like white knuckle, old school platformer, but so cool and fun.
It is. And the flavor of the level is just perfect. No. Horrible pun intended there, because the whole thing just looks, everything looks like cake. There are gumdrops all over the place and icing, and it's crazy. It doesn't look like any sort of attempt to make a realistic world. It's just, hey, here's a giant cake-themed space level.
That's pretty much the whole game, is here's some crazy stuff in space.
Yeah.
Here's Yoshi's head, run around on it and kill some Goombas.
That level was pretty awesome too.
Yeah, and it's just ooh. And then the controls are I think the best controls I've seen on the Wii yet, where you've got the pointer, which is used to good effect, and the stick and the nunchuck are good. But then even just the motion controls are really well integrated into it. You don't use them too much, but when you do use them, it makes sense to activate the spin move or the little jumpy star things or to spin to turn a screw. It all kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
And it feels really intuitive and good. Good.
Yeah, I pretty much agree. The one thing I didn't really like, I didn't really care for the whole star gun thing that you do with the pointer. It seemed kind of like a tacked on, hey, look, it's a Wii game sort of thing.
Yeah, I agree. I don't find myself using that too much. I like collecting the stars with the pointer, though. I think that adds
Yes.
something to the levels.
I agree with that, but the actual mechanic of shooting them seemed to be very rarely good for anything at all.
Yeah, I like it when they'll like when you're battling a boss and they'll have the coins in the ground that you have to shoot to activate.
Yeah.
That's cool because you gotta try and do that while still dodging the boss, which is fun.
Yeah, that was sort of slick, I suppose.
Did
But
you try it at all with a second player?
I keep meaning to. I only just got a second Wii controller this past week, and so I keep meaning to rope the wife into playing Star Jockey or whatever.
You know, it's kind of cool, but I kind of trivializes some of the challenge, I think. I don't know. I've mainly put it by myself, but the little bit I've played with another person, it seems like a huge helping hand because they can grab stars, they can shoot stars, but they can also freeze enemies for you.
Really?
Which, yeah, because like shooting stars requires that obviously they spend star bits, but you can just sort of infinitely freeze enemies in place.
With the
And it's
by
like.
shooting them, or
No,
is
no.
this
You
a
just have a
different?
special. The second player just has a special freeze enemy power,
Huh.
and it's like, oh, that's awesome, but perhaps a little too powerful.
Can't the second player also bounce Mario back up into the air?
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
That does seem a little. If you can freeze the mobs and save Mario from falling into pits, that does seem kind of like it's pretty much trivializing both of the major challenges.
Yeah, it definitely makes it easier. But I guess, I mean, I don't know. I guess it's kind of cool that they do that. They let you have that option. I'm really actually pretty pleased with Nintendo's general. We're gonna make games that you can play with multiple people. People can kind of jump in and out, and we're gonna adjust it. If you're not very good at games, that's fine. You'll still be able to have fun with this.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely appreciate that Mario Galaxy seems a lot more accessible like that. Like, even if you're not awesome, you're still going to find something that's fun in it.
Yeah, and you don't have to do all the super extreme challenges and stuff, but
No.
they're there and they're cool.
Yeah. And it's like, it's just like with Mario 64. I can't remember the exact number, but in Mario 64, there were 120 stars in the game, but you only needed to get 70 of them in order to beat
Right,
it.
right.
And there's a similar mechanic in Mario Galaxy where there's all these stars, there are all these levels, there are all these challenges, but you don't need to do it all if your goal is just to beat Bowser. Oh, spoiler. My bad.
Yeah, well, obviously that's pretty clearly the case. It's one of those things where I'm unlocking the levels much, much quicker than I'm actually getting through them because I'm, going through and then I'm trying to do everything in the level before I move on. It's like I have this mass of stars, and it's like, oh, as soon as I discover a new location, everything's unveiled to me. It's like, oh, okay.
I had pretty much the exact same experience when I played it.
Yeah, I imagine pretty much anyone who's decent at platformers is going to have that same kind of, but it's what done well and. Except for the water. What's up with the water controls? The swimming is just terrible.
Yeah. It's like the one thing that I think they really got right in Mario 64 was swimming. Swimming was really fluid in Mario 64.
And here it's.
It's a mess.
And I almost wonder if it's actually that bad, or if it just seems that bad in comparison to the fact that everything else is so perfect.
If I
And
had to
I'm not sure.
guess, I'd say it's actually that bad.
Yeah, I mean, swimming controls in games usually kind of suck, but this is really annoying.
I think it's on purpose, though, because I think the idea is when you're swimming, they really want you to have a shell. And the shell swimming controls are much more usable. And so I think they're
Yeah.
kind of trying to make the regular swimming controls as awful as possible, so you're going to be discouraged from not having a shell. It's my best
Yeah.
guess.
Maybe so. Anyway, I mean, just woof, an unbelievably good game,
Yes.
and so much fun.
And it's wonderful to look at also. It's vibrant. It's interesting, all the level, like we were talking about the space cake level. Every level's something new. There's
Yeah.
always you're in a new environment, there are new things to look at, new things to do. It's not just like 40 hours of looking at the exact same background while you stomp the exact same mobs. It's much more lively.
Yeah, that is true. And they're interesting structures, too, that you're running around on. Like we talked about the cake or Yoshi's head. I've just been doing the level where you're in a haunted house.
I love that one.
And
It's
it's
so
really
cool.
cool. There's like a path you run through, and it's the camera does some weird, funky stuff, but it looks really nifty. And oh, it's a very nice little, very good-looking game.
And there's a bit more
So.
in the way of extra stuff than there is in a lot of Nintendo games, and Mario games in particular. And I'm not gonna spoil any of that here because I know you, for one, haven't
Right.
finished it yet, and I don't want to blast that for all of our audience also, both of them. But there is a bit more than just like in Mario 64, you beat the game, you get all the stars. Hey, you get 100 lives. It's like, what the hell do I need these lives for now that I have all the stars? It's like the worst reward ever.
Oh, so there's actually stuff to get.
Yeah,
Cool rewards.
there is some bonus stuff, and I'm not going to say what it is,
Oh,
but
I'm very interested to see that then.
yeah, it's cool.
So speaking of bonus stuff, I know we mentioned earlier we've both been playing Smash.
Oh
There's
yeah.
a game that's just nothing but bonus stuff, I think, sometimes.
Yeah, I'm kind of starting to feel that myself. It seems like everything's a reward in that game. There's no actual game. Everything's just a like some sort of weird metagame to unlock some other weird metagame. It's bizarre.
Yeah, you know, I haven't played it in about a week and a half because of Galaxy, but yeah, I feel like this. I'm playing the single player mode, and I don't like it that much, but I keep playing it because I want to unlock stuff. It's like
Yep.
I can either go to work unlocking my things, or I can play Mario Galaxy and actually have fun right now. So of
Yeah.
course, Galaxy keeps winning out, but I feel like. We have some people over. We're gonna want to brawl, and then we're gonna want to use Solid Snake. Best go play some Smash and get to work on that.
The good thing about it, though, is that even if you don't like the single player game, all the stuff that it unlocks, not the trophies and things, but all the actual characters and such that it unlocks will unlock playing brawls also. So that's nice. It doesn't force you to play the single player game as long as you're content
Yeah,
to spend a
but
while brawling without this stuff.
it takes a lot more time brawling to unlock them than it does going through the single player.
Does it?
I think so. Yeah.
I
Well,
don't even know.
I spoiled it and read how to unlock the stuff, and
Ah.
if you want to unlock every character, it's literally hundreds and hundreds of brawls.
Really?
Yeah.
I unlocked all but one of the characters through the single player adventure mode. It's just,
Okay.
and then I had one of them pop up after, what was it? After I did an event, I think. It's just like,
Oh.
oh, a new challenger, and I'm like, I'm stuck with this weird character I don't even really know how to use, but it was an event, and but I won, and so that was nice.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm a big fan of Smash in the Brawl mode, the single player. Well, the worst thing for me is I've played enough brawls that I've yet to actually unlock anyone in the single player.
Yep.
Cuz I've unlocked all the people that could be unlocked so far in the single player. I've already unlocked in Brawl, so I'm playing through the single player, which I don't like, not unlocking anything. And just feel like, I want to brawl.
I liked the single player well enough. I thought it wasn't great, but I had enough fun with it that until the very end, the last level, I thought was pretty awful. But until then, I was having enough fun that it kept me engaged. I thought the cutscenes, there are certainly enough of them,
Yeah.
but I thought they were well done. They didn't, no individual cutscene ran too long, and they all pretty much got across what they were trying to get across.
Yeah, the cutscenes were a lot of fun, actually. I mean, it's kind of this goofy action movie mashup nonsense that's fun.
There's one cutscene too that I really liked. I just thought it was exceptionally clever and very well done. And that's later on. You haven't gotten to that one yet.
Okay.
But
Well, the cutscene where Samus gets her power suit back is pretty badass.
that's badass, yeah, I have to agree.
And there's lots of that kind of stuff where like, oh, hell yeah. You see some your favorite Nintendo characters doing cool stuff. That's pretty neat.
I was pretty pleased when I played through it the first time. And the first time Ness showed up, when he pops up in that cutscene, I'm
Oh.
like, oh hell yeah, because he was always my character in Melee.
Right.
And then he's not on the list for Brawl, and I'm like, well, is he in there? Or did they just replace him with this Lucas dude? I don't know.
Is there a discernible difference between Ness and Lucas?
Yes, they're
Okay.
actually pretty significantly different. The same basic idea, but all their special attacks are different. And Lucas, if I recall, is a little bit faster than Ness and hits a little bit less hard.
Oh, I see. Great. Slightly faster nest, just what the game needed.
But the special attacks are different if it makes you feel better. So
Yeah.
I don't quite have a handle on Lucas, so I can't irritate you with him as thoroughly as I do with Ness. But
I'm sad to see that Pikachu's down B move has survived just fine. The lightning that just gets rained down from the ceiling, which I find to be the most annoying thing on the planet.
it does it as far as I can tell, it does quite a bit less damage than it did in melee, at least. It's
Yeah,
not.
but it now also hits you if you're shining next to or right below Pikachu.
Didn't it always do that?
I don't know. It seems like it's more. It seems like it may do less damage now, but be have a slightly higher area of attack.
It could
I
be.
could be wrong,
It
but I
also
know the.
seemed
What's that?
a little bit slower to start once you actually do the move. Like there was a
Really?
little extra time between when you hit it and when the lightning bolt actually comes down. That could be just me, though.
I know that playing Brawls with four people, if my brother's one of the four, the Pikachu Lightning just becomes part of the environment. It's like, yeah, you can't jump over there. You cannot jump in that direction because there's the lightning that comes down constantly.
Yeah, I'm not a, I don't know, I'm not a fan of spamming the same move over and over and over again. And even with characters, like, I know, one of the big Ness strategies is just to hide in corners and irritate people with thunder all the time. But you notice I don't do that.
Right.
I'm up in your face, because I don't have any fun playing like that, honestly.
Right. No, I agree, but it can be effective if you're
Oh, yeah.
goddamn Pikachu.
Oh, it can be effective for a lot of people. I'm just saying I don't play like that because it puts me to sleep.
Yeah. No, I don't either. Though, one of my favorite things about four-player brawls is the ability to get some good sniping going on. Very difficult to do that, just two or three players or something.
Yeah, I definitely think the game is much stronger with four players than it
Yeah,
is
absolutely.
with fewer, because it's really with two players. It really exposes a lot of the balance holes in the game,
Right.
because just like the previous Smash Brothers games, it's not very well balanced. But it's not really. It's kind of looking in completely the other direction from game balance.
Right.
It's of the school that they just pack in so much stuff that you're gonna have a good time, and everyone's not gonna care whether or not whether it's in balance.
Right. Though, you know, I have played Smash before with people who took it very, very seriously and who were really into it. And there actually is a fairly advanced game in there.
Oh
Like
yeah.
on not maybe not on par with a hardcore fighting game, but people who are really good at it and played a lot, they're pretty impressive to watch. I mean, they got there's a pretty interesting dynamic there that just goes. I mean, it's cool because it is fun because you can just grab it and just start mashing buttons. But apparently, if you get better, it can also get quite a bit better. I've seen people play it that way.
Oh, I believe it.
Those are the guys who go in there and tweak the item frequencies and stuff because they think some of them aren't that much fun.
I've done that before. Every once in a while, I just get sick and tired of a certain item and don't want to see it for a while.
Yeah. Oh, I love the little thermonuclear bombs that are in the new
Oh,
game.
yes. Those are my favorite. I kill myself with those
Yeah,
constantly.
that's pretty much the coolest item they've added in.
I like the assist trophies also. But
Oh yeah, those are neat.
I was always a Pokeball fan, and so it's nice to have what's pretty much Pokeballs, but with other characters in them.
Yeah, that's cool. And of course, the final smashes are a lot of fun.
And I like the Dragoon also. The three-piece
Oh.
spaceship thing that you put together.
Yeah, I really, really like the both that and the final smash are cool because they're items, but they also add a whole new dynamic to the game because when they appear, it really changes the way everyone's playing. I
Absolutely.
only my only complaint about the Dragoon is that using it is not that much fun, really.
That's true. I think it's supposed to be pretty much an easy kill once you get it together, though, because it's so hard to get all three pieces.
Yeah, I suppose.
But
I
yeah,
mean,
you're right.
using your final smash is so much more fun and entertaining than it is. I mean, depending on what the final smash is, like Pit's final smash is not really that much fun to hit. It's like,
That's
oh,
true.
now some stuff flies around. But you know what? He's Pit. Screw him.
Yeah, I understand he's pretty much your arch nemesis these days.
No, my arch nemesis is and always will be Pikachu.
Sooner or later, if we play enough matches, sooner or later I'm gonna try to get you to hate Ness as much as you hate Pikachu. That's my goal.
Pikachu! It's not possible, man. If for nothing else, then Ness doesn't say that every time he spams his down D move.
Ness does broadcast every single one of his attacks too. It's not even just one of them.
That's a great reason to play Samus, because she's silent.
Yeah. It is I've come to the conclusion that it is one of the major drawbacks to playing Ness against other people is that he broadcasts everything you're doing.
That's interesting. I didn't think about that.
And he doesn't even just say, "Hey, I'm attacking now." He yells out the attack name for every attack.
All right. Yeah. Psychic Thunder.
Yeah. Or fire or flash. It's just like, well, kind of makes it hard to sneak that up on somebody.
Oh, on a vaguely related note, but I just thought of it. I gotta, of course, have to save everything that springs to my mind. Have you
Absolutely.
seen the Street Fighter 2 HD remix that they have coming out for Xbox Live Arcade later this year?
I've heard about it, but I haven't actually seen any.
Oh, it looks so awesome. I mean, it's the original Street Fighter 2. Same gameplay, but with HD graphics. Like, basically, it's all been
Okay.
redone. It's still 2D. It looks gorgeous, and it's gonna have internet play and everything, and that's what a great idea that is.
Are we talking Championship Edition with the four bosses playable?
I don't know, actually. I don't know if it's championship or regular. I think it may be original. It may not be championship. Well, that's the one that's on Xbox Live Arcade right now is the original, and also the one that's on the Wii channel. The Virtual Console is the original.
I'm pretty sure the Wii Virtual Console also has Super Street Fighter 2.
Does it?
I could be wrong, but I think so.
I know the Wii Virtual. My friend's got the. A buddy of mine has the original Super, just Street Fighter 2 on the Virtual Console.
All right.
So it may also have Super Street Fighter 2, but who likes that crap?
Yeah, I didn't really like Super. I like Turbo. Turbo is the way to go, as far as I'm concerned.
Agreed. I like Turbo, but I spent so much time playing the original. It's cool. So I mean, I think it's a great idea that they're gonna exist. Still a fun game, but they're gonna completely remix it in terms of the
Yeah.
graphics, and they're gonna offer some abilities to tweak some of the gameplay. Like, I guess they've talked to the Street Fighter II champions, like the best tournament players in the world, and they've suggested some tweaks that they're gonna implement. So you can turn on like the kind of tournament mode that has some gameplay changes, which is kind of an interesting idea.
That's interesting. I don't know. I never played at a very high level, to be totally honest with you.
Well, yeah, me neither.
I haven't played Street Fighter 2 since I was probably like 14 years old. But basically it'd just be me and some friends from school just sitting around bashing buttons. So
Right.
what do I know about high-end balance? But it did always seem like there were a few characters that were just completely gimped in that game.
Yeah, you think that until you see someone good with Dhalsim, and you're like, oh, god damn it.
Dhalsim was actually not even close to the character I was thinking of.
Oh, Blanka, Zangief?
Zangief was definitely on my list. And I was also thinking of Ken, who's basically Ryu but a little bit slower.
I think they're the same speed, aren't they?
Oh, maybe they were in the original. In some edition or other, Ken was a little bit slower than Ryu.
Yes, I think you're right. But I think in the original they're pretty much exactly the same.
All right. I could be misremembering. But yeah, Zangief, I never did come up with like any reason to use that dude.
Yeah, I've seen people good with everyone but him. I've never seen anyone be good with him, so I don't know.
I did personally get pretty good with Dhalsim. I mean, certainly not championship good with him, but
Here's a little bit of information for you. Dhalsim
yeah.
has the he's the only person in the world who can counter the normal opening move, which is to jump backwards. Every match of Street Fighter opens with the jump backwards move by both sides. Dhalsim is the only one who has a counter to that.
Really?
Yeah, he can do a high punch when he jumps in the air that'll reach out and stretch and hit the
Huh.
other person. And it's pretty much not blockable. It's like you're screwed at opening against Dhalsim, because if you jump back, you get hit. If you don't jump, he can also hit you. So you have to like do a weird kind of high block standing there and hope he doesn't attack low to start.
Huh.
It's very strange.
Yeah, that is a little bit more intense than I ever thought about it, to be honest with you. I never considered Street Fighter 2 in the terms of like opening gambits and things like you'd think about chess.
Right.
And maybe
No,
that's part of the reason why I was never any good at it, because I just don't take it that seriously.
I don't know. I didn't take that. Maybe I did. I don't know. But I played it a lot. I don't think I took it too seriously. I was never in tournaments or anything. But I certainly did enjoy it. I'm excited about the idea of taking a classic game and just updating the graphics.
Yeah, That's pretty cool. That's been done a few times, obviously. I mean, Nintendo's released remakes of its old games with updated graphics. Square Enix has done that. And
True.
I think it is a good deal, basically, because a lot of old games are a lot of fun and a lot of people haven't played them.
Exactly.
And to jump directly into that now, kind of like with the Virtual Console, it can be a little bit off-putting because you're like, what the hell is this that I'm looking at on the screen?
Right, that's my experience that I had when I played Street Fighter 2 on my buddy's Wii the other day, and we have it hooked up to his 40-inch plasma high def, and there we go, we got Street Fighter 2, and it's like, wow, this game looks terrible. I thought it looked great, but I was wrong. I was so wrong. It's like 2 frames of animation for all the backgrounds, and the characters are I have very few. The arcade version is better still, but the I used to think the SNES version was gorgeous,
Yeah, so did I.
and I mean, well, I'm sure it is if you compare it to other SNES games, but
Yeah. I go back to the back to any Super Nintendo games nowadays and I'm just like, "Whoa. I used to think these looked awesome and now they just look really, really old."
right. Though I think, I don't know, some of them still hold up fairly well. Super Mario World is still a really good looking game in my book.
I don't know. It looks like Super Mario World. I mean,
True.
I can't fault it for that. It certainly doesn't look less like Super Mario World than I expect, but even when it first came out, the graphics weren't that good.
Oh, really?
It was,
I was always just blown away by them.
yeah,
Yeah.
I mean, comparing the graphics in Super Mario World to the graphics in like Sonic the Hedgehog,
Yeah, I always thought they were much better.
really,
Yeah.
I always thought they were much more accessible, but seemed a lot less, I don't even know the exact word for it, a lot less maybe advanced. It looked like
Well, there
Super
was the
Mario World looked
Cineblast
like,
processing.
well, that's true. It was the blast processing that did it. But Super Mario World always looked to me like just Super Mario Brothers 3 with a deeper palette, you know? It didn't really seem like.
Sure. I remember being blown away by how good Zelda 3 looked. I remember thinking, wow, this looks
Yeah.
just like a cartoon.
Yeah, that one I definitely had that experience with. And also the sound.
Oh,
I remember being
yeah.
like, oh wow, listen, you could hear the rain on the roofs and everything. That was a big deal back in 1991.
The other cool thing about the Street Fighter 2 HD remix is they're not going to charge $10 for it or whatever because it's an XBLA game. Much better than Square Enix's $60 for their emulator game.
Yeah, I'm kind of getting bored with that, to be honest with you.
I'm pretty happy. I think the Virtual Consoles and the Xbox Live Arcade and I don't know, I guess maybe Sony sells games on its online side, I'm not really clear. Whatever they call it. That's a great way
I think it's just called
to get
PlayStation
games.
Store.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
They didn't even bother to come up with an interesting name for it. They're just like, I'll just call it Store.
Well, it's empty, so.
It's because they put all their movie content on the Xbox 360.
Yeah, they sure did. It's very weird. You can download like Spider-Man on the Xbox, but not on the PlayStation, so kind of confusing.
Does seem like it. I
What about
think in the
PS3?
long term, if you look at it as like Sony was figuring, well, everyone who wants to watch Spider-Man on the PS3 will now have to buy the Blu-ray version. And we can
Yeah.
penetrate this other market a little bit too. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, kind of. I don't know. So I guess, yeah. Hey, since the last podcast, I did purchase Sony's Blu-ray player. Which what are they calling it? Some PS3 or something like that. It's their model number. I
I
don't
think
know.
so. I think
It's
so.
a pretty nice Blu-ray player. It has like this weird online store feature where you can go and not download movies, and you can go there and look at the 4 game demos that you could download if you really wanted to, but. I don't know. That implied there were some games worth playing on the PS3. I don't know. I mean, once you've played like Uncharted, I guess you're pretty much done with the PS3 games.
I am probably pretty much done with them before I've played that, to be totally honest with you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. I enjoyed it, but it wasn't great. The weird thing with the PS3 though is that I just don't like playing it. It's very funny, like because since I've had it, I have that and the 360, and it's like. Go to rent a game or something and get like Army of Two from Gamefly and I'm like, all right, I can get it for PS3 or for Xbox. I'm going Xbox because I don't know, I enjoy the Xbox more.
Well, one thing that probably contributes is the lack of a half hour install before you can start playing the game.
Yeah, that's a good point. I didn't that's not fun, I'll tell you. The worst was I downloaded like the Ninja Gaiden Black demo or whatever it is, not Black Sigma or something for PS3. I had to wait to download it, and then I had to wait for it to install after I had downloaded it. And I was so curious because it's like it's already on my disc. What is it? What's it doing now? I guess it was unpacking or something. When you download a demo off Xbox Live, you just download it and then play it. And of course, the PS3 cannot download demos while you're watching a Blu-ray movie. You just,
Really?
it's like, yeah. No. If you do anything else, it stops downloading. So it's really annoying, in fact.
That is pretty annoying. I didn't know that particular piece of information there.
Yeah, it's
Well,
not good.
engineered product. Did you see? I posted on the website early this morning, I think it was actually.
No.
Sony was recently discovered to have been pirating a lot of the software it uses to run its own infrastructure.
Like Windows and stuff, or
I think it was like an accounting package or something. I'm not really clear on what the software
let's see here.
was.
Oh, I found the link. Windows admin tools, ideal migration.
But it's like, this is the same Sony. This is the same Sony that installs rootkits on its customers' systems to prevent them from pirating its intellectual property, and it goes around and steals everything it wants from other people. Like,
Well,
guys.
300,000 euros in damages is what the company's claiming. And that's like
Yep.
$5 billion at the current exchange rate.
Something like that. I don't know the euro at all. If it were the Czech koruna, I'd be able to tell you, but not the euro.
Wow, this is that's great. Up to 47% of their software was pirated.
Yep.
Good job, Sony.
It was very well done, guys.
So does that mean everyone gets a couple free Sony movies downloaded off the torrent without fear of prosecution?
I don't know. That could be a good settlement, I think.
Could I, like, when they come out with a PS3 game, would I be able to get that for free off BitTorrent?
I don't know. I don't know. The only trouble is that it would probably take you more time to install BitTorrent on the PS3
Well, I
than
assume
it.
I download it on my PC and then just burn the DVD. Oh, wait, it's a Blu-ray disc. I don't have a Blu-ray
Yeah.
burner.
Well, they're only like $40,000 or something.
That's a good deal. I can use it to burn copies of the PS3 games that don't exist. Did you hear that the Metal Gear Solid 4 game is going to be the talkiest Metal Gear Solid yet by quite a bit?
I did hear that.
Yeah, because they were going to ship the Japanese audio track on the North American and European releases of the game, but they couldn't fit it on there. They had to just go with the English language track.
Excellent.
There's 40 gigs of space on the Blu-ray.
Well, I mean, keep in mind, they have to fit in something like 8 hours of gameplay along with all the talking.
Eight? That's being pretty generous.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go with
I made a
6 hours
bargain.
of gameplay, 64 hours of talking.
And 700 pages of backstory that you can read from the main menu.
Oh yeah, that was great. That was a lot of fun when they did that.
I really liked the way they did it though, because it's like they have this two screen synopsis, and you're like, okay, you read that, and then when you're done with that, it unlocks this other one that's like 8 pages
Right.
long. And you're like, oh, okay, I'll read the 8 page one also. You know what the hell? I'm right here. It's 8 pages. And you read that, and then it unlocks this other one. You go into it, it's like 215 pages long.
Yeah, they're not screwing around. This is the most complicated story ever told.
And they wrote it like as a memoir from the perspective of one of the characters in the first game, and it was just
Yeah.
peculiar.
Yeah, no, they're not joking. They're serious about the backstory and the universe there.
I guess so. And I mean, I'm a complete moron, so I sat there and read the whole thing. And I
Wow.
accidentally hit the
Was it
B
good?
button. It wasn't bad, but I hit the B button around page 95. Which
Ooh.
canceled me out of it completely. And so I'm like, oh, so I go back in. There's no like jump to page or go forward more than one page at a time function. So I just have to sit here and just press A, bitch, until I get all the way up to the page that I was on before. And I'm just like, this is kind of a pain in the ass. Maybe I
That's
should just,
painful.
but here I am. I'm so stupid that I don't take this as a clue not to read the rest of this ridiculously long thing. I'm just like, you know what? It's a cross I'll have to bear. A.
Well, except for by A, you mean circle, circle, circle.
Well, yeah, you know what I mean. I can't get into the I don't get I didn't get into the weird colored buttons on the Xbox either. I'm sorry. I'll just refer to them by the Super Nintendo term, and that'll be it for me.
Well, the 360 controller now has them labeled correctly. And they got rid of the confusing black and white buttons from the original. So now it's just you have X, B, Y, A, and triggers.
Yeah, that's the way it should be as far as I'm concerned. Or
Yeah,
I
I
can
agree.
see a case for like X for like A, B, C, and D. But, you know.
I guess. What are you,
If you
Genesis?
Right, exactly. If you absolutely have to pretend that you're making a Sega console, but it's like, what is this triangle square?
It's always the worst. It's been like the worst thing ever for reading like facts on the internet, trying to. It's like we had this nice system where I could read them, and then Sony comes along, and they're like, "Oh, whatever, we're gonna have a triangle."
That's much too sensible, guys. We're gonna mess it up.
Yeah. Yeah, freaking Sony. Oh.
Yeah, I'm not too impressed with them at the moment, I have to say.
Yeah, me neither. And I bought their Blu-ray player, and it's. It's a fine Blu-ray player. I'd like to know it's still the best Blu-ray player on the market. It's just a very poor game console. Yes, for some reason the Blu-ray people decided that, and the HD DVD guys kind of did this, but not as bad. But the Blu-ray people decided that they're going to require like players to get regular firmware updates so they can add in new features. So certain discs won't play on certain Blu-ray players unless you go through some crazy hoops to update the firmware. The nice thing about the PS3 is it has internet and a hard drive built into it, so you can easily have it updated. But what the hell? I can't begin to fathom why they decide to like gradually roll in new features and require new Blu-ray firmware.
I can. It's DRM.
Why don't they just ship it with DRM?
Well, the thing is, they do, but people are going to defeat that. And if they can make you upgrade the firmware, they can make you upgrade the DRM, and then the old DRM defeating content that you have will no longer defeat it. It's an
Yeah, I
arms race.
guess, but it's just nothing but, and it's even worse than normal. It's just, ugh, I feel bad for people who have a Blu-ray player that cannot connect to the internet easily, because then they're like burning DVDs after they download the firmware and flashing their, God, it just seems like a pain in the ass.
It does.
It's like, yeah, I mean this is the sort of thing that it's like if my mom ever puts in a player a DVD into her drive, it's like, oh, yeah, this can't view this DVD. It doesn't have the right firmware. There's no way in hell she's gonna be able to, ever be able to watch that movie.
Exactly.
So.
And I think it's probably something that's going to bite them in the ass once it gets to be a widely accepted format, because right now it's not. It's
I think
still.
that's one of the things that's gonna stop it from becoming a widely accepted format, honestly.
That's kind of what I mean. When it's once it starts to move into the mainstream, people are going to be like, "What the hell? It's a pain in the ass to use. We want
Yeah,
something."
I'm really not convinced. As much as I enjoy it, I like HD DVD, I like the Blu-ray. I just don't think either. Well, obviously HD DVD is not going to, but I don't think that Blu-ray is necessarily going to become a major format. It may end up being kind of like laser was.
I think it's too saddled with weird rights management shit. I don't think it'll ever actually get to be
Yeah,
a
well,
big thing.
maybe it's one of those things where. The rights management stuff may be in there, but I never actually noticed it just watching movies and renting them and buying them. I guess if one of the people who, and I know people like this who, no joke, they have a Netflix subscription, and they just constantly rent movies from Netflix and burn them and then send them back, like just constantly hundreds and hundreds of movies like this. I'm really confused why, because there's no possible way they can watch those movies. Like you can't if you're going through 6 movies a week. Burning them. It's virtually impossible to watch 6 movies a week. I mean, it's not impossible. It's difficult, right? It's difficult if you have stuff to do and you're not just constantly watching movies on your free time. But these people do it, and I don't know why. But I know people with like literally thousands of burned DVDs from Netflix that they haven't watched. It's a sort of weird compulsion.
Yeah, I guess maybe it's a hobby in its own right. They don't like watching movies, they just enjoy the act of piracy.
Yeah, but I'm always like, well. I don't. If you're really that into it, why don't you just download it off BitTorrent, right? And you don't have to keep all the DVDs around. Just grab the movie when you want it. But no. They
I don't know.
constantly pirate in the movies. Like, the thing is, you already paying for the Netflix subscription. you don't need to pirate them because that's what will send you what you want. That's sort of how it works, but now they gotta pirate them. I'm like, okay. Because I'm
Yeah.
like, what if, I don't know.
It's, I don't know. It's the same concept, I guess. I was just thinking the other day about people who buy, like, a big new video game comes out and they buy, like, four copies.
Yeah.
And one of them's to play, and the other three they just keep.
Right, my old buddy who did that with Squaresoft games.
Yeah, I've run into a lot of people who do that one way or another, and it's just like, what the hell? That's
Yeah,
kind of
and I don't
weird.
know. I kind of understand that a little more than I understand the, because at least then you're purchasing something. It's like a collection, but can you really be proud of your collection of burned DVDs? Like you can't really display that, can you? You can be like, yeah, look at these DVDs I ripped. I don't know, I guess you can. I mean, it just seems like not very impressive. Like, oh wow, you get a lot of free time.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
know.
Whereas if you have every Squaresoft game ever unopened on display, you know, I guess if you're a Squaresoft fan, that's kind of cool. It might be, you know.
I suppose that does make a little bit more sense, but I
But even
mean,
then, I would
seriously.
never do it. I'm like, come on. I buy a lot of DVDs because I enjoy it. It's my collection, but I open them and watch them.
Yeah.
I don't buy them just to have shiny, expensive discs.
Exactly. I mean, I own an ass load of video games. I'm not gonna
Right.
lie about that. All kinds of different formats. I'm looking at a whole shelf unit covered with them right now. And it's not just because I think it's awesome to bring people over to the house and be like, hey, you see my shelf unit full of video games?
Right.
I've played almost all of them, and the one or two that I haven't played, somebody gave to me and I wasn't really interested in.
That happens. I
You know,
remember when
you
I
don't
was a
want to be a.
kid. That happened all the time. My grandma would get you a Game Boy game, and she was like, she would go into the store and ask them what the kids liked, and of course, the clerks always just foisted off the garbage on her.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, they love Snoopy's Magic Show. Like, ah, oh, great. That was actually a pretty good game, though. I mean,
Was it?
surprisingly, it was hard as hell. You would think that a Snoopy game would be pretty easy. Not that game.
Huh.
It was like this really hardcore puzzle game. It was really difficult. It was like one of those old school dungeon puzzlers.
Yep. I kind of miss the days when they did make a few licensed games that were actually worth playing.
Yeah.
Like when you could get that, or what's, you remember the DuckTales game on the Nintendo?
Yeah, I loved. Everyone loved that game.
That
Everyone
game
I
was
know loved that
awesome.
game. You know, that's an interesting game because everyone I know loves that game, right? But it's never talked about as one of the great video games.
I think that's probably just because it's a licensed product. People are like, oh yeah, a DuckTales game. That must have been good. And they don't think about
Yeah.
it. Like, if it had just some generic bullshit character in it instead of Scrooge McDuck, it probably would have been much more highly regarded.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah, you know, I think. Are there any licensed games? I mean, GoldenEye on the N64 is the only one I can think of that everyone hails as a classic. What other ones are there? I mean, yeah, that's pretty much it. That's the only licensed game anyone likes.
That's pretty close. I guess you could make an argument for Kingdom Hearts, which isn't
Okay, yeah.
exactly licensed. It contains licensed characters, but isn't like based on a movie or anything.
Yeah, same kind of deal with like Marvel versus Capcom or something, because
Right.
everyone likes that, but it's not really.
Yeah, so
Yeah.
that's everything I can come up with.
Interesting. Oh, yeah. But you know, I was talking about this with a buddy at my work the other day, and really lamenting the fact that Rare needs to freaking get the James Bond license back again and make a sequel to GoldenEye.
This
It
is
it's.
a common criticism. Say that much. I still read Scribes, not gonna lie to you. And they still get people talking about that periodic, not as often as they used to, obviously, but still periodically people are like, so when are you gonna make another GoldenEye game?
I mean, can you blame them? Rare went out, made one of the greatest shooters ever, and then followed it up with a pseudo sequel that nobody really much cared for.
Yeah.
And,
I own it. I think honestly it would be a much more playable game if the frame rate were anything like consistent. But it has
yeah,
its
no.
problems. It just like it'll tank to like 3 frames per second
Exactly.
randomly.
It would have been cool Well, I mean, it's a shame that Perfect Dark Zero wasn't that great either.
No.
Like, no. It was a launch title for the 360, so what do you expect?
Oh, yeah. It was only in
Really?
development for like 14 years. I mean, it's not like that's enough
Right.
time to get any sort of gameplay in place.
So what they—I mean, what they really—what they really need to do is get the freaking license back.
Now, what they really need to do is get some freaking software out. Because I think they released two games on the Xbox, and so far I think they're too deep into the 360. It's like,
No,
speed it up a
I think
little bit.
they've done three on the 360.
Have they?
I think they did Viva Pinata, that Gems game, Cameo,
Oh, I forgot about that one.
and
Yeah.
Perfect Dark Zero.
Yeah,
But
Fortnite Cameo.
none of them are
As did
very
everyone else.
right. I mean, I played Cameo, however the hell they pronounce it, and it's kind of meh.
What I heard.
Viva Pinata seems like it'd be a really cool game if I were seven. I probably love it, but I'm not, so I don't.
Yeah, it seems like more it kind of seems like it's in the same mold as Animal Crossing to me, where there's not really a whole lot of a game there. It's just kind of like here's some stuff to play with.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And I was kind of hoping for something more like Harvest Moon, except maybe not so fucking hard, because God damn, those Harvest Moon games are a bitch.
They are, and it doesn't help that I don't know if Natsumi just doesn't have a QA department or what, but every single Natsumi title I've ever played is just full of huge crippling bugs all over the place.
Yeah, that's about right.
I remember playing Lufia 2 on the Super Nintendo, and there are like two or three dungeons in this game that are completely, literally completely unplayable because they're not, I don't, they didn't make the translation correctly or what, but the dungeon is just totally scrambled. You can see your character in the middle of the screen, and it's just this whole scrambly mess all over the place. And
That's good.
fortunately, they're all really short, like one screen type short, and so just blind fumbling will get you through them in like only a few minutes. But how did that not get caught? How did nobody notice? And I have played three different software revisions of this title, and they never fixed it.
Oh, well,
What
why would they?
are they releasing new versions of the game for if they're not gonna fix that?
Yeah, why would they? It's fine.
I guess people are playing it. We don't need to fix that.
Hey, I mean, it sold well enough they could release three copies. Who are you
I
to
guess
say they can
so.
fix their obvious bugs? Oh, that's pretty bad. Yeah, you know, GoldenEye or Rare needs to make a follow-up to GoldenEye, and BioWare needs to freaking make Knights of the Republic 3, which I heard they were working on, but it seems like it's just an endless series of rumors that they're working on it.
I don't know.
I
Maybe it's
thought.
something. I know BioWare just recently got bought by EA, I think. Was it EA?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that's no doubt had a little bit of havoc wreaked upon its release schedule.
Yeah. But hey, they're releasing Mass Effect for the PC later this year. That should be interesting. I'm probably gonna fix the frickin' interface, which is a fantastic idea.
Yeah, I remember. I think it was last time, last
Yeah.
show, you were talking about how
Terrible it is.
the interface in that game just does not live up to the standards of 1984.
No. Yeah, I think if they fix some of the bugs and fix the interface, it should be a really fun game on the PC.
Cool.
And I really interested in checking out the downloadable content that they produce for the 360. It's like $5 and you get an extra level. And unfortunately, two problems. One, my friend has my copy of Mass Effect and keeps forgetting to bring it back to me, so I
Man, that
can't.
must be a bitch.
Hey, I gave you back your stuff. You got it back. And,
I'm just saying.
look, you can download Symphony of the Night now on Virtual Console. What are you whining about? It's
No, I
it's
can't.
there for you.
No,
Oh,
I
you
can't.
can't?
It's not.
I
No,
thought it was.
that's on the 360.
Oh, well, I
You
can
get it from Live
download
Arcade.
it.
And I don't know if it's
So,
available yet, but you know, eventually.
I think I've seen it. Anyway. But yeah, the other thing that they did, which just keeping in their tradition of making Mass Effect awesome, but with crippling, weird freaking decisions, is if you have a save at the end of the game, you cannot use the downloadable content with that save. So let's say you save right before the final boss, which of course you did. You can't use it. You can't use your save there.
That's
Wasted
just
it.
bizarre. Does it, well, can you at least like branch your save so you can save and then save in a
Nope.
different file? No?
No, it's one of those. It's so stupid too. It's one of those games where you set into motion a sequence of events that there's no going back from. So once you start the last, and it's a long, pretty long sequence. It's like really the last mission, but it's this whole thing with this whole sequence of stuff. Once you start that, you can't go back because most of the game is open-ended. And you're flying around your spaceship. You pick where you want to go. But then once you go through the last storyline, it's like yeah, you can't fly around at your own leisure.
I kind of hate that, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
I
me
like it.
too.
It doesn't bother me if games put up a big disclaimer that says, "Hey, if you save, you won't be able to go back."
Right, and they
Then
don't.
I'm just,
The
some of
Mass
them do.
Effect. No, Mass Effect does not.
Bat and Kaito's Origins burn me like that also. It's possible to
Ugh.
save
Yeah.
at after you're locked into the end game sequence and it won't warn you about that.
I mean, I guess it's weird because they do a lot of things correctly. Like, there's a new game plus, which is awesome. You can, like, bring your same character back into the new game. So, I mean, it's not that big a deal, the downloadable content stuff, because all you have to do to use it is to get back to a point where you have your ship again. So through New Game Plus, that's like 2 hours of play time. So you can take your same character and all your stuff and start the game over again. But it's still like, you shouldn't even have even done that to us. You should just let us create a save at the end of the game where we can fly around and whenever we want to. And, what a bad decision on their part.
I don't know. My experience, I haven't played a whole lot of BioWare games, but in my experience with them, they don't have any idea how to handle the end game at all. It's just like the early part of the game, like the first two thirds or three quarters or so of the game will just be really cool. And then it's kind of this spiral into bullshit, and they'll tack on stuff like that just to make it seem even dumber. Like
Yeah.
in Neverwinter Nights, I remember, the game is in four chapters, and the first three chapters have a whole shitload of stuff to do, and they have side quests and branching storylines and this and this and that. And then you get into chapter four, and it has like two quests, and one of the quests is walk all the way north and kill one bad guy, and the other quest is walk all the way south and kill the other bad guy.
That's a lot of fun right there.
It's bizarre. It's like, oh shit, we have to ship in a week. We need to tack on the fourth act real quick.
Honestly, I think that's what happens to them, is that their games are ambitious and perhaps overly so, and then they get burned because they don't really finish it. Mass Effect feels that way in spades. They're like,
That's,
oh,
yeah, that's what
shit.
I'm saying. All their games seem to feel that way.
Yeah,
Like they
well,
just had to rush through the end.
Knights of the Republic, except for all the crippling bugs in the early releases, doesn't feel that way. It actually has a good end game. But yeah, I mean, it came out buggy as hell. Because clearly they don't have enough QA time.
Maybe they could hire Natsumi's staff. They don't seem to do anything.
Maybe that's the problem they did. Yeah. Well, I think like it seems like they're aware of the problems. They just don't fix them because that would take effort. I mean, and Mass Effect is full of some weird stuff. Like there's all sorts of texture problems. We'll be watching a cutscene, and it'll be a short cutscene, but like a texture won't render until like the last second or two of the cutscene, right? I'll just all of a sudden pop in. Oh, here's this new texture. And I'm like, how? I don't know. I'm like, wow, it would have been better had that texture never appeared because I didn't notice the problem until it magically appeared at the last second. You just hadn't, if you left it untextured, it looked much better.
The other thing they got into with their cutscenes in what was it? Oh, it was in Hordes of the Underdark that I noticed this. They have a cutscene, right? And the characters, it'll be like five characters or whatever standing around talking. And there are speech bubbles that appear over the characters with the dialogue, it's fine. And so you're trying to watch these characters talk, but then they decide they're just gonna spin the camera around. And so it's just like this sort of top-down view on these characters, and then it just starts to spin, and all the text bubbles are spinning along with the camera, and you're trying to figure out what the hell anybody's saying. It's not fun.
That's a good design decision. Well, I'm hoping Mass Effect 2 will fix all the weird ass stuff. We'll see.
So there is a confirmed sequel at this point?
No, it was before the first one even came out. It was a trilogy. I
Yeah.
mean, they announced that we're making a trilogy of games, and the first one's called Mass Effect.
All right then. I suppose if
So,
you're BioWare, you can do that. A lot of developers would
what's
see if the
that?
first a lot of developers would see if the first game sold before
Yeah.
they committed to the next two. But, you
But
know,
they're BioWare.
they're one of
I
those
mean,
companies that people just collect their products so they could release whatever they
exactly.
want. Kind of like Square Enix.
Exactly. Right. Precisely. And they're like, "Oh, hey, look, we have an RPG on the Xbox 360." Did you know people can actually make them for the 360?
I know. That'd be a first.
Actually, I played a really weird demo called Eternal Sonata on the
I
360.
know. You told me about that. That sounds so hot.
Yeah, it's this really cool cel-shaded Japanese RPG, and it is all about how awesome music is. I'm not clear.
Didn't you
It's based
say?
on the yeah, it's based on the life and works of the composer Chopin, or Chopin, or Chopin.
Chopin, usually.
I can't pronounce words, so Chopin.
Chopping is good enough.
And yeah. So all the characters have musical names, and it seemed fun enough, but it was just mainly a trip. First of all, that's a weird ass idea for a RPG, and two, it was a Japanese RPG on the 360, which just felt really strange. I guess it's
Yeah, I
coming to the
don't know.
PS3 next year. Or this year, rather.
When that comes out, if it reviews reasonably well, that might be the tipping point that finally gets me
Oh, no,
to get a
it's out.
360. Oh, it's
It's
out?
out. The reviews were kind of like mid to high 70s, low 80s kind of reviews over on, like, I think that's what. I think it's like what the Metacritic scores were. So, no one was that excited about it, but
The
interesting
only thing
idea.
is, that's actually a good sign with RPG reviews when they're in that range. Because
Yeah.
what I've noticed with reviewers is that an RPG that reviews in the 70 to 80 range
Yeah.
will tend to have a lot of comments in the reviews like too much gameplay, not enough cutscenes. And I am down with that, let me just tell you.
Yeah.
I remember
Well,
the
I'll tell you that
original.
the demo for Eternal Sonata was all combat with virtually no story or cutscenes.
Well,
So it's
that's the
all
right way to do a
gameplay.
demo.
Yeah, but most demos, not that way, right?
True story. But I remember when the first Baten Kaitos came out, GameSpot rated it like really weirdly low, like 7.2, and they're complaining the whole time. They're like, there's too much to do. There's too much gameplay. There's too much challenge. There's too much depth. We want more cutscenes." And I'm just like, "You've just convinced me it's the best game ever made, guys. You might want to watch out for that."
We really wish this game were Final Fantasy IX. Or Final Fantasy VIII. We really like those games with lots of story, and you kind of just walk through it. So what's up with FF12? You've played it, or the wife's played it. You've seen
The
it.
wife has played it. I have witnessed quite a bit of it.
I don't. Okay, can you explain to me exactly how the game works? I keep reading confusing things about the
All
combat.
right. So it's like this. You've played an MMORPG, right?
Yes.
It's like that, but there's just one player. And you control all the characters that aren't the mobs.
How do you sort of switch between them?
You can do that, or you can program them in advance. You can set them up to when, you know, character X loses so many hit points, cast a heal spell, that sort of thing.
Okay.
So basically, what it does is it creates a situation where you run into monsters and combat begins, and then you watch a movie of the fight, and then you keep running.
So they finally managed to get rid of all the actual combat from the combat.
It seems like it. I don't know. I haven't actually played it, as I've said, I've just witnessed it, but that does appear to be what's going on.
I'd also heard it described as like a real-time strategy game, which kind of confused me too.
Yeah. I could see that if you're familiar with playing real-time strategy games that give you three units.
I'm sorry, what was that? You cut out for a second.
If your real-time strategy games generally give you an army of three units to use, it's a real-time strategy game. But outside of
Weird.
that, there's no resource management of note. I mean,
Sure.
here's the thing. It's a lot like an MMO in that your magic points regenerate over time.
Okay.
So it leads to a situation where you kill some mobs, And then you kill some more mobs, you kill some more mobs, and then you're starting to get low. So you just kind of like run around in a circle for a while until you get more magic, and then you heal and you run around in a circle for a while. And I'm kind of a fan of designing games to avoid that myself.
Yeah, I mean that's like that sounds like it's like the worst parts of MMOs. I mean, because the thing about the MMOs is the whole point is you have to. Well, half the thing that makes them difficult is working with other people. If it's you controlling everybody,
Exactly. I
like the
would.
combat is not really that much. I don't know. It's not that great in and of itself. Usually.
Yeah, I probably would get very bored with an MMO that did not have any other players in it first.
Yeah, I mean, World of Warcraft is awesome, but if it's just you kind of soloing, it's not. Well, actually, that's not true. World of Warcraft is actually pretty fun
Well, but even then,
soloing.
you have people to talk to,
True.
and you're like working towards stuff like, oh, well, I'll solo my way up, and then this weekend I'll do
Right.
this dungeon with my friends and stuff like that.
You know, it was interesting. The Penny Arcade guys, I don't know if you've ever listened to their podcast, they had this long discussion about this idea that they're back in a World of Warcraft again after having gotten away
Yeah,
from it for a while.
I heard
And yeah,
that.
Gabe over there was saying, you know, he feels like when he's playing games that aren't World of Warcraft, he's wasting his time because there's no permanence to anything he's doing. Whereas when you're working in World of Warcraft, you're like, yeah, I'm gonna get this cool piece of armor and I can show it to other people. They can see it and I can help out the group. And so that's what you're working, and you're like, yeah, you know, this will make it easier the next time we go out and do a dungeon because I did this. And I definitely, particularly when I'm playing an MMO, I feel that exact same way. When you go to play other games, like, well, kind of a bummer that, you know, I'm just playing by myself here and I can't use this stuff to help other people.
Yeah, I get that a little bit. I don't know. I never really get into that whole into the backside of it where you're like, well, other games are kind of like, meh. But I definitely enjoy the fact that in an MMO, what I'm doing is going to be impactful for others also.
Right.
You know, if I spend quantity X of time farming mobs so I can get this rare pattern, then I can craft this item for my friends and help them out too, that sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
I appreciate that, but I don't know. I guess maybe I'm just not into it enough that I also get into the point where if I'm playing a game that's just by myself, I don't care for any of the stuff that I'm doing anymore.
See, I definitely feel that way. And it goes down to even silly things where, like, you know, I'm playing the Wii or theoretically the PS3, and I don't have like my friends list that I have on Xbox Live. I don't see anyone online, and I feel kind of lonely. It's weird because I can open the laptop and I have everyone on IM anyway, so not like it makes any real difference. But like I don't get my achievements and I'm not tracked around between games. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. I kind of get that, but I mean, I sit right here and the computer's right here, and like you say, I got AIM open. And I don't know, that kind of does it for me. As long as there's somebody on I can chat with, I don't feel like I'm sitting around in my own little bubble and I'm totally isolated.
I think it would be nice if, and maybe, I know you're bitching that you hated this in Metroid Prime, but I kind of like the idea, and I haven't played it yet, so I'll see how well it works, but the idea that even a single-player game, you can earn stuff to help out other people who are also playing a single-player game.
I didn't hate the concept, I just hated the way it was executed.
Okay.
Because I would like it if it were as simple as, you know, you can send credits to friends and help them out. I think that'd be awesome. But there's a special credit type that you can only get from friends.
Oh, that
And
sucks.
yeah, and it's needed for all of the interesting unlockables and quite a few of the boring ones too. And it's just like, so all these other credits that I've earned by doing all these cool things in the game are good for basically nothing because I can't get the green ones.
Ooh.
That kind of sucks.
Yeah, actually, that really does. That's.
I would like
Well,
it.
yeah, well, and of course, Nintendo doesn't make it really easy to meet friends using their video games.
Not exactly, no. It's, I don't know. It bothered me a little bit, I have to say, because I'm looking at this and I'm like, oh, I can get bumper stickers for my ship, and that's, you know, it's stupid. But it's a fun thing, you know?
Yeah. So yeah, no, I like the idea, and I hope more games implement it of combining somehow single player and multiplayer experiences. But I think if they do that, they need to make it optional. Probably they
Yeah.
shouldn't force you to do the multiplayer.
Yeah, the Metroid credits would have been fine if it was like you could use the green credits to stand in for another credit so you could help fill your stuff up instead of, no, you pretty much just need them to buy anything.
Right.
So you're boned.
Well, anytime I'm a big fan of the way they did Smash, where there's every bonus can be unlocked multiple ways, pretty much. So it suits your play style, which is cool. And all bonus systems should probably be like that in some way if they can.
Yeah, I agree. Should, except for maybe highly specialized things, like
Sure.
something that's only matters in multiplayer, I'm kind of cool with it only unlocking for multiplayer. But something that you can use in single player and then you can use in like the online deathmatch mode also, you should probably be able to get both ways. Kind of seems to be sensible to me.
Yeah. Although, hey, did you hear about EA and one of the new Battlefield games? They're going to be offering downloadable content that you have to pay for that will be usable in game.
Yeah, I did hear that.
That's a weird idea.
I think I heard something similar. Are you familiar with what the hell's it called? Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles King for a Day?
No, I played Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles on GameCube.
Yeah, it's a different game. It's one of the WiiWare launch titles for when I think it's launched in Japan already. It launches in North America in May, I think. It's when you can actually download actual new games for the Wii instead of just,
Oh,
the
okay.
virtual console titles. And this is one of the launch titles for it. I think they have something similar to that, where you can like buy stuff for actual real money from Square Enix that you can get in game subsequently. I don't know what
Huh.
I think about that. I'm kind of thinking I could play Second Life if I wanted to.
Yeah, well, it's even weirder in Battlefield because it's not an RPG. It's an FPS. And so if you're
Yeah, that's
not
true,
buying
huh?
this stuff, you're not going to have access to the same set of weapons that the other guys have. Which
Yeah.
doesn't make it. I mean, I don't know.
That seems a little sleazy.
I hate to just sound like I'm cribbing from Penny Arcade, but they had an interesting write-up on the whole concept that, an RPG and like an MMO, it almost doesn't matter so much because you expect there to be gear imbalance. But one of the whole points of an FPS is that it's skill alone, that both sides are symmetrical in some way. And thus, there's no gear imbalance. You're like, oh, this guy's played more, so he has a better gun than I do. But they're going to deliberately introduce that, which, I don't know. Make me less inclined to play it.
Yeah, makes me less inclined to play it too.
I don't know. There's good uses of like the downloadable content and the paid expansions and stuff, and then there's like trying to nickel and dime people to death, which just sounds like a terrible idea to me.
Yeah, that kind of seems to me like, hey, we're going to charge you extra for access to the weapons that are already in the game. It's like, here, you buy the game from us, and then you rent the equipment to play the game with.
Right. I don't know. It
I'm a
doesn't
little
sound very
shady on
fun.
that idea.
Yeah, I don't know if I really like it in an MMO either, the idea of selling stuff.
I like
Just.
it. I like it if it's like totally cosmetic stuff.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
It's kind of a neat idea there. Or maybe if it's more progression-oriented stuff, but I don't want to see the best stuff in the game.
Right, nobody wants that.
That would be ridiculous. And I'm not aware of any instance of that actually happening.
Well, no, I mean that would break the game when half the point
Yeah.
of an MMO is to work toward the best stuff that's available currently. Like, why? I mean, if you bought that, then what would you do? You'd be,
Exactly.
yeah.
That's why I don't get the people who complain that, since they had the best gear before such and such expansion, they should always have the best gear, and it's
Right.
ridiculous that their gear got up. It's like, what the hell do you want to play the game for then, guys?
Yeah, I mean, why don't you just call it quits after you had the best gear? Retire in
Take
glory.
a screenshot, get one of those figure print things, and go home.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, my brother started playing World of Warcraft again.
Oh yeah?
And he's Horde on some other server. He's a Belf of all things, a freaking Belf.
Oh, that's just awful.
And he was like calling me asking for advice and stuff. I was supposed to like tell him, and he started giving me a quiz, asking me all these acronyms, and of course I knew what they were. It's like, damn. It's like I'm gonna go ahead and just buy you a 1 month game card, just get you back into it. Like, you know what? Screw you, man. I don't need that.
Yep. I don't
So
know.
if he does that, I may just send you a free 1 month game card. Because it's like crack cocaine, and I can't go back.
Yeah, I may hang on to it then, because I'm getting pretty close to retiring for the time being myself.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, I'm getting bored.
Yeah, I mean that'll happen. You know, when the next expansion comes out, it's like, ugh.
Exactly. So my plan at the moment is right now we're almost done with Zulaman. We're on Zul'jin. We have him more than halfway down. I'm pretty sure we have like one sticking point that we're working through now, and once we get through that, he'll go down pretty quick. And that's probably going to be it for me, to be
I
honest
see.
with you. You know, I might hang around for a few more Zul'jin kills, help out people, because I'm the main tank. Kind of be ass if I just disappeared like that. No, bye guys. But you
Bubble.
know,
I'm done. Bubble.
exactly.
Hearth.
Later, G quit. But
Except G quit. No one would notice.
Hammerack would notice.
Okay, Hammy would notice. That's true. We'd need to, like, leave muffins or something for everyone else to notice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know what LF1MWC means? Yeah, I think I got that one figured out.
Yeah, I think that means you need to reroll Alliance.
Good answer.
I do what I can.
I should have said that. Yeah.
My brother plays Horde also, so I'm.
Is he a Belf?
He is an Udd. His roommate is a Belf.
My brother's like, yeah, you're rolling these pussy ass Alliance classes or whatever. If I'm talking to him, he's like, well, what are you? Blood Elf? What? Oh, it's the weakest, lamest race you could, man. It's even worse than Nelf.
I know. It's horrible. The only I is he at least a paladin?
He's a mage.
There is no justification for rolling a blood elf if you're not at least going to be a paladin. Because at least then it's like, well, I want to be Horde. It's the only race that can be paladins. Arr. It's
Right.
like,
No.
come on. You could have rolled a troll, dude. They're so much cooler than blood elves.
No, he's a Belf mage.
I don't know. I don't know. It's shady.
And of course, complaining about his survivability in Battlegrounds. Like, listen to me. Nobody, except maybe the Paladins, have good survivability in multiplayer. And just, full on kill. Everyone goes down fast.
Yeah.
That's just how it goes.
It is. There is no such thing as survivability in a
There's
battleground.
literally no class. Right. Paladin's the only one.
And only for 12 seconds.
Right, and that's it. And it's every 5 minutes.
4 minutes with talents.
Oh, hey, there you go. I mean, period. Yeah, I just die too quickly. Well,
Don't play battlegrounds.
pretty much. That's just how it goes. Like, freaking rogues.
Or, you know, go hang out in the back and fish and leech hunter.
That's a good idea.
Just saying is all.
Didn't they nerf that though?
Repeatedly, but people still find ways to leech as much as they can because people are lame.
A lot of fun for those people who are doing that.
I know, what the hell is the point? It's like if
Well,
you're
these
gonna be here anyway, you may as well at least go like cast fireball at some dude.
right, have some fun with it. These people who spend money to not play a game.
It mystifies
It's
me.
very weird.
I have no idea where they're coming from with this at all.
It's weird too, because nobody would ever do that in a single player game. Like, if you found some weird bug to, like, rack up star bits in Mario, you wouldn't just sit there all day long racking up the star bits.
High score I can get.
Right, nobody would do that.
Like
It's just pointless.
this is a true story. Yesterday, I was
Yeah.
playing Kirby's Adventure on the Virtual Console
Okay.
because it's a fun game. And I found a bug that gave me unlimited uses of the kills everything on the screen attack.
Okay.
And I went through one level just to see, oh well, yeah. And it just kept cycling around. And then once I was done with that one level, I just threw it away and got a better power because I'm like, this is really boring.
Exactly, yeah, it's not very fun.
It's cool to play with for 5 minutes, but after that, it's like, all right, let's get back to the game.
Yeah, you actually want to play a game. You don't want to just walk through it.
I
Although,
didn't
you know what? I
pay.
do like the glitches that require skill, like the 99 lives trick in the original Mario. So in the original Super Mario Brothers, with the turtle, and that was cool because it was actually kind of tricky to do.
Yeah. I like glitches, don't get me wrong, and I like finding them. and I like, oh, hey, look what I did. But it's like, if it actually breaks the game like that, if it actually makes it completely trivial to get through the game, I'm not gonna use it.
Well, I think what they should do then is they should have the Mario glitch where you can get all the lives, but if you get too many, the counter gets reset.
Yep. What on earth was the logic behind using a signed variable for lives?
I don't know. What if you had negative lives?
That makes no sense to me. Because that's, oh, as
Yeah.
you go over 127, it goes to
Right.
negative 128. And it's
Right.
just like, why is it signed? You can't go below zero.
No, you can. That's the thing. You can. That's where you were wrong.
I guess I was. Guess that's why they used a signed variable for the worlds also, so you can get to the minus world.
I guess they just did everything as a signed variable. I wonder how big is the variable for the score? Can you get negative score?
I don't even know. Presumably. I mean, if they didn't bound the variable for the lives, I doubt they bounded the score variable, so probably you can wrap it around.
That'd be awesome. Negative score.
That'll be my goal from now on.
At least it doesn't crash when you go around.
It's true. It just, ends instantly.
That's excellent. That's such a great bug.
It's a great bug. My favorite video game bug, I think, was in the original Metroid.
Uh-huh.
All those secret levels in Metroid. If you're
Oh,
familiar with
yeah.
that, that you get to by like jumping out the side of an elevator shaft, and then it's like,
Yeah.
that is the neatest bug ever, and it's kind of a testament to how robust the programming was for this game that you could just feed it all this garbage data, and it doesn't just not crash, it turns it into coherent, playable levels. That's so wild.
Is that what's
Natsumi
happening?
could learn from that. Yeah, basically, you're forcing the game to interpret data that's not level data as level data.
Weird.
Yeah. And it does it. It turns it into levels that are so fluid and playable that people actually thought they were intentionally designed there, that this is some big secret they discovered. When
Yeah,
no, you're
I didn't know that. I thought it was like just, I thought it was just like unfinished levels.
No, you're just freaking the game out.
Oh, that's pretty rad. Yeah,
It is, I thought.
the original Metroid is a real masterwork.
It was hard. Holy shit, was it hard?
Yes, it was. It was even harder that I would routinely miswrite my password and have to go back to an older one. That was a pretty common occurrence.
I could always remember my password for that game because it was pretty much always Justin Bailey.
And then a couple of dashes, huh?
Yep, quite a few of them actually.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember when I learned that like well after I had gone through it and played it through a couple times, and it's like, oh, well, this makes things pretty easy, doesn't it?
I liked it just because I thought it was kind of groovy just playing without the suit on.
Yeah. My
I'm like,
brother
woo!
actually got through it and got that legitimately. He did it quick
Yeah.
enough to, yeah, which was always amazing. He played a lot. I was pretty impressed that he was able to do that.
I guess so. I don't know if I've ever beaten that game without cheating.
Oh, really?
I don't know. Oh, I didn't really play it a lot because I never
Okay.
had a copy when I was a kid, so I'd only like play it at friends' houses.
I always borrowed it, but the or rented it, but the password system will let you just kind of move from game
That's true.
to game
That's
and
true.
save your progress. That's kind of how I did it. Yeah, it was such a cool game though, because it was so different from anything else out.
Definitely was.
And even then, just like exploring this cool world was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I love exploring in video games.
Yeah,
That's
me
a lot of
too.
the reason why my favorite Nintendo game always was The Legend of Zelda.
Because yeah, it was just so open-ended.
Right, it's just this whole big world to explore, and somewhere around here you got dungeons, and the dungeons are basically just like little microcosms of the big world. It's just another little world to explore.
Yeah, that is cool.
And I enjoyed it. And it didn't railroad you at all, really.
Quite the opposite, in fact.
Yeah.
At the time, you were wondering where you're supposed to go next. Like, okay.
Yeah, it could have used a little bit more structure, that's for sure, but yeah, it was 1985. What can you do?
Well, it's actually kind of cool because like you could do dungeons out of order, and like you'd come in a dungeon, you weren't sure if this was the next one or not.
until you went in, and then at the top of the screen say level
Gonna...
4.
When I was a kid, apparently I couldn't interpret that because I was a little unsure where I was supposed to be.
Really?
But you can't, yeah. But you kind of figure it out because they always want to see. Well, I ain't going to level 5 right now, right? I don't know. I'll go here.
I was all about doing the dungeons out of order. Especially level 6. I do level 6 as late as possible.
Why is that?
Oh, you don't remember level 6? Level 6 was the hardest thing ever.
Which one was it?
Level 6 was the one that was all whiz robes and likes.
Oh yeah, that
The
one was a
whole
bitch.
way through. Oh my god, that level
Fucking
will kick
whiz
your ass.
robes.
And
Oh man.
likes were the meanest monster of all time. Who put that in? That is so mean. It doesn't just do damage. No, it destroys your inventory. It's like I paid 100 rupees for that shield, and it's just gone. And without that shield, of course, you can't block the attacks in the whiz robes. So it's like one
I don't
hit from
know,
a
but that
like, and
also
you just
the
bail.
what was the name what's the hand called in
Oh,
that
Wall
game?
Master.
Oh, I hated Wall Master so bad.
I know, I was so paranoid about those when I played
Oh,
that
I
game.
know. Like, oh crap, the hands are here. Better hide. Gotta go real careful. See that shadow?
So paranoid.
Yeah, the newer Zelda games, I don't know, there's a little too much railroading.
I always thought that about Ocarina of Time, for one.
Yeah, I
It's just
agree.
like, I kind of want not to be dragged by the hand through the whole game. I'd kind of like just to have some exploring to do.
Yeah, I feel the same way about it pretty much. Well, see, I liked Wind Waker because there was that just kind of get out there and
Exactly.
sail element. Everyone else hated it.
I loved it.
That, yeah, that was my favorite part of Wind Waker was the sailing around aimlessly.
That
Because
and
I
playing with the pigs. I loved playing with the pigs.
what's that?
I loved
Oh
playing with the
yeah, sure.
pigs.
Yeah, I really got into sailing Wind Waker, and I had a whole map of the ocean, and I had notes for every plot. What was there? Trying to do all the puzzles and find all the pieces of heart and everything.
Yeah.
I enjoy that. But yeah, the Zelda games since then have been much more. Here's where you're gonna go.
Yeah, did you ever have you played any of the ones on the Game Boy lately?
I have played the DS one.
I haven't played that one, but I played what was it called in the Game Boy Advance? The hat one.
Oh, the Minish Cap
That
or.
yeah, that one.
No, I didn't play that.
That was pretty good. It was a little less railroady, though it was still pretty much straight line play, but it had a little bit more give to it, a little bit more wandering through the world.
Oh, that's cool. I honestly feel like I'm just kind of getting a little sick of Zelda. I
Yeah,
know
I know what
it
you
seems
mean.
like heresy, but it's I don't know. There's a lot of them, and they all kind of have the same vibe.
They've gotten a little overwrought, as far as I'm concerned. It's like too heavy on the gothic angst in the story, guys.
That's what everybody wanted.
I'd kind of like it better if we went back to save the princess from the pig man. Here's the world.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, you and I are the only two people on the planet who liked Wind Waker.
That's true.
I loved Wind Waker's look and style. Well, I guess the DS game has a very similar look and feel to it. I haven't played it very much, though, so. But yeah,
I'm
everyone
told.
was like, oh, we need a dark. We need the future world from Ocarina of Time.
It's like, holy fuck, no, we don't.
Yeah, no, not really. And I've never really been a fan of the horse riding in Zelda games. I mean.
Didn't care for it. I liked it at first in Ocarina of Time just because it was, the hot new thing. And I think I kept liking it up until they made me shoot the bow. That's when I stopped liking the horse riding.
Yeah, the game, yeah, the Zelda games, they need to branch off a little bit because they've kind of done the same. That's weird. I guess every time they branch off, everyone hates it. Everyone hated Majora's Mask, and everyone hated Wind Waker. So it's when they make the straight out Zelda game, everyone's happy.
I really, really wanted to like Majora's Mask.
Yeah, me
And I
too.
really tried to like Majora's Mask. And it had some elements that were just really cool, but the game that they were wrapped up in was just so bland and flavorless.
Yeah, I agree with you. The actual levels were a real low light.
Yeah. And then there was this whole They did the we were talking earlier about Mario Galaxy, about how nice it is that the game doesn't involve any element of try to figure out what the next thing you're supposed to do is. And Majora's Mask is that the whole way through.
Right. It's not.
Try to figure out where the next dungeon is. Try to figure out how you're going to get in. And oh yeah, there's a time limit.
Yeah, the time was what killed Majora's Mask for me.
I would have liked the time limit. Okay, this is going to be. I almost can't believe I'm going to say this. I would have liked the time limit if it had stuck in the Clock Town stuff and been more like an adventure game. And I think that's the first time in my life I've ever said I would have liked it better if it were more like an adventure game.
Wow.
But honestly, I really liked Clock Town. I really liked the way everybody was just independent and everybody just went about his own business and didn't just stand in one place and wait for you to come talk to him.
Yeah, that was cool.
And if they'd done more with that and kind of kept it more contained and more less like a race to beat the boss before the game resets on you,
Right.
I would have liked it a lot more.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I mean, it was really, especially for the time, innovative. I mean, you have like that whole thing where people have schedules and stuff in like Oblivion or whatever, but yeah, I don't know, it felt better. I mean, I don't think anyone's done it as well as what's done in Majora's Mask.
Well, you can't do it that well unless you bound the time, because obviously you can't write unique schedules to infinity.
Right. I
And
guess that's
that's
true.
with Majora's Mask, since they restricted themselves to 3 days, everything takes place within 3 days, they could write detailed schedules for every character.
Right, that would alter depending on what you've done, and
Exactly. And nobody's taken that approach since, and that part was the best part. That was the best thing about the game.
maybe they should. Maybe someone should make a take the basic time travel idea and do it again.
I would, if they remade just that part of Majora's Mask and fleshed it out and left out the parts where you leave Clock Town to go race to the dungeon,
Yeah.
I would probably buy it again.
Yeah, well, that would be an interesting idea. Someone should actually try that out. Sort of, you can do it a race against time, where you're like some sort of time traveler, interacting with these people, and as you go through iterations, things change depending on what you've done at the start of the cycle.
I
And you can
actually, I
make
was.
a really interesting adventure game that way.
I was actually writing an adventure game on that premise
Oh, really?
some years back. I think I even started it before Majora's Mask came out, but it's long years ago. And just because I was really fascinated with that whole idea of the interaction in a limited time frame, after which, it resets and you do the same things again, and you have to try to figure out how to navigate events until you get the outcome that you're looking for.
Right, it's like the
It's kind of
Groundhog Day thing.
exactly. It's exactly like that.
That's actually a pretty good idea for a game. I don't know why they put in all the crappy dungeon stuff in Majora's Mask.
Because it's a Zelda game and you have to have dungeons, I guess. You
Now,
have to have.
I should remember Majora's Mask was you could travel back in time freely, right? But if you hit
Yes.
the 3-day limit, you lost.
No, you didn't. I don't think you lost, did you? I think it just kicked you right back to the beginning again.
I remember I hit the 3-day limit once and got really angry for some reason because it screwed me over hard. I never played it again.
It's been
So
a while.
let me see if I can figure out. Yeah, I don't remember exactly what it was that happened.
I know you had this 3-day period that advanced constantly. You couldn't stop it from going forward.
Right.
I think you could slow time down, and you could speed time up, and you could reset time.
Oh, you know what happens here? I just checked it out. If you run out of the cycle, if you hit the end of the 3 days, then you lose all the progress you've done since the last time you reset time.
Oh, is that what it is?
That's what upset me, because I
That's
had to be
pretty
the
awful.
dungeon. I had to be the
Yeah.
dungeon in that intermeeting time, and I was like, oh, because it was always like, if you reset time, you kept all your progress. I was like, oh, I want to see what happens if I let it hit the if I let the asteroid hit the t town. Yeah. You lose all your progress since the last time you reset time.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
That's horrible. It should just treat it as time reset.
Yeah,
Like
it really
just
should.
like whenever you play the song of resetting time, except you don't have a choice in the matter.
Yeah, that would be a good idea.
Yeah, that's a little ignorant. I don't even know what to say about that. Well, We should probably call it a night at this point.
I think it's a good idea. I gotta
We're
get some
going
more
on our
wood.
time limit. Yeah. So I think that was good. It was nice to get back on the air, as it were. We did the Super Nintendo versus Genesis a little bit in the middle this time instead of at the end.
We're tricky.
But we did get it in there. So, yeah, we'll try to get another episode out before next year at this point. At our new schedule, I believe you should look for us to be on the air again in July. Is it July?
Yeah, who
Give or take.
knows?
We're wacky.
Sometime.
We're wacky. All right. So, thanks all for listening, and we'll catch you again in July.